Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. Welcome back, everyone. It is Saturday, August 1st. As I mentioned earlier this week, my nephews and I went to go see Spider-Man Brand New Day on Thursday. And as we were walking through the lobby after the film, we stopped at those crane machines near the exit. The kind with the stuffed animals and then the glass case and the claw that always seems to drop the prize right before it reaches the chute. Well, it was $5 to play, which already felt steep. And my nephew mentioned that he'd watched some YouTube video by an engineer who broke down how the crane machines are programmed. I didn't think much of it at the time, but later I looked into it, and what I found applies to a lot more than just crane machines. The claw in that machine doesn't grip with the same strength every time. The operator actually programs a win rate into the machine's software, and on most attempts, the claw intentionally grips too weak to hold anything, regardless of how perfectly you position it. The machine decides whether you're allowed to win even before you touch the joystick. So your skill actually determines where the claw goes, but the software depends on whether or not it holds onto it. Okay, let's get into the story. These crane machines run on a dual grip system controlled by a microcontroller inside the cabinet. The operator decides what the grip strength is going to be. On the majority of the times that people play, that grip strength is set to weak. But when the machine decides that the person's going to win, the grip strength is set to strong, which is actually during the payout cycles. So during the weak mode, which is, again, the overwhelming majority of attempts, the claw applies just enough pressure to pick something up and start carrying it, giving you that feeling that you almost had it right before the grip loosens and the prize drops. That almost won experience isn't bad luck or poor aim. Like I said, it's actually programming behavior that's designed to make you think that you were close and that you should try again. When the machine reaches its preset payout threshold, it then switches to strong mode, and the claw grips with enough force to actually carry the prize to the chute. An arcade operator on Reddit broke this down in detail. In California, regulations require a payout on roughly 1 in every 12 plays. In Nevada and most other states, it's about 1 in 15. The operator sets the ratio through the control panel, and the machine tracks plays internally and triggers a strong grip cycle when the count is reached. The prizes inside cost the operator between 25 and 50 cents each, bought in bulk. At $5 a play, with a 1 in 12 payout rate, the operator collects about $60 before giving away that 50 cent prize. Even if you account for electricity, maintenance, and the floor space rental, the margins on crane machines are enormous, and they depend entirely on the player believing that the skill is the primary factor when the software is actually doing most of the deciding. This isn't illegal, by the way. Crane machines are classified in most jurisdictions as quote-unquote games of skill with an element of chance, rather than gambling devices, which is a distinction that matters legally, even though the practical experience of putting money into a machine that's programmed to let you lose on most attempts feels a lot like gambling to the person standing in front of it. So you might be thinking, isn't this exactly how slot machines are? Well, you're not wrong. Slot machines in casinos work on the exact same principle, just with a lot more money, more regulation, and more sophisticated psychology. Every modern slot machine runs on a random number generator, or RNG, that produces a result the instant that you press the spin button. The spinning reels, the near misses, the dramatic slowdown just before the final symbol lands, all of that is just theater. The outcome was actually determined before the reel started moving. The animation exists to make you feel like the result was close. It was contested and it was almost going your way, which keeps you pressing the button more and more and more. Each machine is programmed with a return to player percentage, or RTP, which is the amount the machine pays back to the players over millions of spins. A slot machine with a 95% RTP keeps $5 out of every 100 wagered. The remaining $95 gets redistributed to players in the form of occasional wins, but the distribution is uneven. Most sessions end in losses, a few end in modest wins, and a tiny fraction produce the jackpots. The house edge is small on any individual spin, but it adds up over 1,000 spins, which is why casinos want you to play as long as possible. So just so you know, that RTP that I talked about, the lower it is, the worse the odds for you. The higher it is, the better. By the way, you're never going to know what the RTP is in a machine, but it's pretty regulated and it's usually like 96%, which means the casino keeps $4 for every $100 that are gambled. I've got a good friend, Dom, who likes to go to casinos and look for machines he thinks are hot, which means he sees people playing a lot, they keep losing, and he's like, ooh, this machine is ready to pay out, so he wants to jump on it. They call that a hot machine. And apparently, the hot machine is a myth, because each spin is independent. The RNG doesn't track history. It doesn't know about how long it's been since the last payout, and it doesn't adjust based on previous results. The belief is that the machine is quote-unquote due for a payout after a losing streak, and it's called the gambler's fallacy. This gambler's fallacy is actually one of the most expensive cognitive errors a person can make because it leads people to increase their bets and extend their sessions chasing a correction that the machine has no capacity to deliver. I will say, in Dom's defense, he does seem to win a ton on slot machines. Like, when I see him gamble, it's at least over 50% of the time, which is wild. Not sure how you feel about gambling, but you might be asking who even allows this. The legal treatment of these machines varies more than you'd expect across the world, and the distinctions are often arbitrary. Japan regulates crane machines with specific payout requirements. It's also good to note that in Japan, arcade culture is enormous, with entire buildings dedicated to claw games in districts like Akihabara. Arcade staff will sometimes reposition a prize for you if you spent enough attempts, which is a customer service layer that American arcades don't typically offer. In some European countries, crane machines are regulated as gambling devices if the prize value exceeds a certain threshold, which means the same machine that's legal in a movie theater lobby in California might require a gambling license in parts of Germany. Slot machines face a wider range of restrictions. Japan, for example, bans traditional casino-style slot machines, but it allows the Panchkino, which is a pinball-like game that occupies a gray area in gambling law because prizes are technically exchanged for tokens rather than cash. Though, a secondary market exists where that those tokens are immediately converted to cash at a shop next door. Several countries, including Norway and parts of Australia, have imposed strict limits on a slot machine's availability, maximum bet sizes, and mandatory breaks designed to interrupt the flow state that keeps players gambling. Norway banned slot machines entirely in 2007 due to concerns about gambling addiction and only reintroduced them with heavily regulated state-operated machines that enforced a loss limit. The video game industry actually walked into this same debate with loot boxes, which use identical variable reward psychology to crane machines and slot machines. Belgium actually banned loot boxes in 2018, classifying them as gambling. The Netherlands did the same. The United States has not, and the Entertainment Software Association, ESA, has argued that loot boxes are surprise mechanics rather than gambling, a distinction that has roughly the same persuasive power as calling a crane machine a game of skill. So, to close this thing out, I keep thinking about that $5 crane machine in the movie theater, and the fact that the prize inside costs the operator like 25 to 50 cents is just crazy. The machine was programmed to let my nephews lose on most of the attempts, regardless of how well they aimed. And when the claw inevitably dropped the stuffed animal, my nephew's instinct was probably to try again because they thought that they were so close to getting it. Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but they were not close. The machine just made it feel that way, which is the same trick that slot machines use at a much larger scale, and casinos reinforce with every architectural choice, from the carpet to the missing clocks. The math is always on the house's side, and the experience is always designed to make you feel like it's on yours. Stay informed, stay curious, be responsible when you gamble, and we'll see you tomorrow.